The announcement made today, which a lot of people had been waiting anxiously for, and the people who were waiting anxiously for this announcement are those people who like to punish themselves by running 56 kilometres up and down hills and valleys, and people who like to punish themselves less but enjoy the sociable aspects of a 21-kilometre outing. The Cape Town Two Oceans Marathon. Deborah Barnes, the race director, is on the line to us now. Hello, Deborah.
Hi there, John.
Very, very good news for the running community. For the moment, I mean, one always, with a pandemic, has to sort of, you know, put this little cautionary note in there. But for the moment, going ahead over the Easter weekend next year.
Yes, indeed. It's been a long journey to get to this point. You know, 2 years without an event has just impacted on all of us. And, of course, nothing we could do about it. So we're very happy to have been able to make this announcement and obviously put some smiles on the runners' faces.
One of the first things to notice is that it's on the 16th and the 17th. You're running the Ultra yes. on one day and the Half on another day. And some of the other historic activities around this weekend, you've had to set aside, at least for the time being.
Yes, we've had to. We've had to make these very important operational changes to the event. And the big focus was in ensuring that, of course, we comply with the Disaster Management Act and all the restrictions around events, but that we also give the runners every opportunity to run on, you know, one of the events. So it's an operational matter, but also we wanted to ensure that we can have the maximum numbers of a number of runners on each day, while still complying with, you know, the safety requirements.
So the plan is to have full fields, the sort of historically full fields, or do you have to cut each field by a certain percentage in order to stay within COVID guidelines?
Yes, we obviously are monitoring what the, you know, what the minister is saying. So currently we are looking at a reduced field, but our planning takes into account a reduced field and a full field. So that, you know, with some engagement with the Minister of Sport and other authorities, we're hoping that with our comprehensive COVID plan, we'd be able to increase the numbers a bit more.
Right. Let's talk through some of the plans that you are making to reduce the possibility of any kind of super spreader event down to as close to zero as is possible. You will have to comply with stringent screening measures prior to the race. You're not asking that people be vaccinated, but you are asking that you either provide proof of vaccination or present proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken not more than 48 hours prior to the race.
Right, yes.
Was there a discussion about making it available only to the vaccinated?
I mean, obviously, those were discussions, but I mean, we obviously have to accept that people have their own decisions to make around whether to vaccinate or not. From a safety perspective, we have to ensure that it's either the vaccination, proof of vaccination, or then you have to always comply with the COVID test or the PCR test before the event, sorry, the antigen test. And our plan includes offering that to the runners, you know, in the days leading up to the event and certainly around the expo period. So, yeah, we've had to make quite a few changes, but there were some rules and requirements that are not flexible, unfortunately.
And you will provide tests. If somebody rocks up to get their race gear and they are not able to do that, you will give them an antigen test straight at that time, and there's a fairly rapid turnaround with the result.
That's right, yes. And at this point, whilst we're looking for partners to support us, it will be for the cost of the runner, unfortunately, but we are working towards mitigating that with some partnerships on board, which we're currently working on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't think it's unfortunate. I think anybody who chooses not to be vaccinated and wants to run in a race which has mass participation, I personally think you shouldn't allow them to run, Deborah, but we're not going to go there. That's the decision you've taken, and that's the way it is. No spectators. The same as was true for the cycle race, but with the cycle race, spectators turned out. That's what they do. And Dave Bellairs told me that he was getting plenty of phone calls from the authorities saying, stop those spectators.
Yes, we manage our start and finish areas. We can't really control apart from telling people that it's not permitted. We can't control how many people step out of their front door and stand along the route. We can only, through communication, ask them not to do that and not gather in places as well. So it's certainly not encouraged from our side, but our focus is managing the start area and the finish area, and they are very stringent and, you know, tight rules to control people where there are no spectators at the start or finish. So it's only really your staff who are working at the event and the runners.
And how do you prevent, how do you start the race? Finishing the race, people tend to, particularly the longer race, people tend to finish in very small bunches if they finish in a bunch at all. But they start, historically, they've started in significantly crowded pens. What are you going to do with the start?
So we use four numbers, about 200-300 per pen, and we're going off in different times, different batch starts. So very much like Cape Town Marathon, the same procedure will follow, that we put smaller groups together in and they run off at different times. So there'll be like a 2 to 3 minute split between each batch that goes off. And of course, people have to wear their masks at the start, and once they're on the road, they're allowed to take them off. And of course, at the end, at the UCC grounds, we're going to be channeling people through from the finish area right through to where they need to go and collect their tug bags. There will be no gathering at all, apart from some of the media interviews that will happen with some of the youth. Other than that, we have our marshals that will be moving people away from the finish line.
Okay, because that clears up some confusion, because your media release reads, runners will be required to wear a mask at all times, including at the start line and finish area. But what you should have written is that you're required to wear a mask at the start line and in the finish area.
Yes.
So, okay, I'm glad that's cleared up. And then the final question is, when do entry applications open and how?
We are looking to, in the next week and a bit, to open entries, and we will announce that date within the next 48 hours, what date the entries will open. But it will be within the next 10 to 14 days maximum.
And if you have to, sort of follow-up question to that, if you have to restrict the numbers, you give precedence to people who have run before, ran the last time? How, or are you going to go for a complete potluck, lucky draw? How are you going to manage?
Yes, we generally do a ballot draw because you're always oversubscribed with entries and we can only accommodate a certain number. So the ballot draws then obviously prioritizes those that have run 10 or more, and then we move down the ladder with other runners. So the ballot process, or what they call the lottery, works, and it would work well with managing the numbers that we restricted to.
Thank you very much for coming on the radio with us this afternoon. The race director of the Two Oceans Marathon, Deborah Barnes.